Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
Well, this morning, if you have your Bibles, open them to Mark chapter 4. And in this passage here, Jesus is beginning a series of parables. And we're going to read a parable today, give our time and our attention to it. Mark chapter 4, verse 1 says this, "Again, he is Jesus, began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat, sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching, he said to them, 'Listen.'" How many know when Jesus says listen, you better listen? Turn to your neighbor, say, "Listen up, listen up." He said, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path. The birds of the air came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into good soil, produced grain, growing up." Everybody say growing up. "Growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" I want to just pray. Can we pray together this morning? Father, I pray even right now that you would open our ears to hear what it is that you want to say to us. I pray that you would speak on all kinds of levels all over this room and online and in the family center. Father, I pray today that my ears would be open, that we would be tuned to you to hear and respond to what it is that you're saying. I pray that even the atmosphere of this room would literally open up to the atmosphere of heaven. All over this place today, Father, things that we did not expect to encounter in your word today, I pray our hearts would be open and ready to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. So in your Bible, the headline there in Mark 4 probably calls this the parable of the sower. But really, this is a parable about soil. It's a parable about soil. It's a parable about four different types of soil. So here we have Jesus. He's teaching and preaching from this boat. And so he's in this little cove, we could say, maybe like an amphitheater where the water is here. And he's on the boat and people are gathered around him. And his voice is literally traveling on the water to this huge crowd. And as he's sharing this story, as he's sharing this parable, what he's doing is he's drawing upon the Hebrew scripture, which they would have been familiar with. And in doing so, he's giving them clues. He's giving them hints. He's giving them imagery. And the Hebrew word for this is called remez. Can you say remez? It's the word that means hint. It's the word that means I'm giving you a clue. It's look back. And so Jesus here is giving hints in a way that the listeners, as they're listening to him share this parable, they'd be going, "Ah, that's ringing a bell. That's ringing a bell. That's sounding familiar. That hundredfold harvest thing is sounding familiar. Where have we heard that before?" And it probably, to that audience, would have actually triggered something in them to the book of Genesis, chapter 26, verse 12, where it says this, that Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And it says that the Lord blessed him. And what I discovered as I was digging into this is that this is actually the only place where the hundredfold is referenced in regard to harvest. And as Jesus here is describing what good soil produces, they would have been connecting the dots. Have you ever had a moment where you're connecting the dots? Has the Lord ever connected the dots for you? Like all of a sudden you're like, "Oh, I got that clue and that clue. Maybe I'm not so silly and slow. I'm connecting the dots." So they would have been connecting the dots that a hundredfold blessing was because the Lord blessed him, blessed Isaac. So to his audience, this picture would have been forming in their minds that when we receive the word of God into good soil, that God blesses it. But they also would have been connecting the dots that what Jesus is getting to here is that in order to have a fruitful crop, you have to have good soil. You have to prepare the soil. You have to prepare the field. You have to prepare your dirt. Turn to somebody and say, how's your dirt? How's your dirt? How's your dirt? Don't say, give me the dirt. How's your dirt? In preparing soil, okay? So there are a couple things. I'm going to talk about this. I really believe the Lord's going to open something up to some people that you never, he's just going to speak some things today. In preparing soil, there's a few things that farmers have to do, especially in Middle Eastern culture, that they would have to do. So they would have to break up the soil, right? They would have to till the soil. They would have to soften the soil. But before they could do that, they would do two things. And the first thing is this, they would have to burn away the thorns. They'd have to burn away the thorns, literally set fire to those thorns. And the second thing they'd have to do is remove rocks, remove stones. And what Jesus, as he's beginning to describe here, is he is hinting at that there are different types of soil. And as he's describing these soils, he's hinting at what the prophet Jeremiah said and when he prophesied to Israel, specifically to Judah and Jerusalem in Jeremiah chapter 4. It'll be on the screen. You can just jump in there with me, verse 3 and 4. And this is what Jeremiah said. He said, for thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem. I think it'll be on the screen. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground. Break up your unplowed ground and sow not among the thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Remove the foreskin of your hearts. So Jesus is giving another remez here. He's giving another hint in this parable to what they would have remembered and what they would have understood from the Hebrew scriptures in Jeremiah in regards to tending soil. So what he's saying here is metaphorically, circumcise your hearts. Circumcise your hearts because there are things that are attached to your hearts that are not what God wants for you. Break up the hard places. Break up the ground. Prepare the soil. Don't sow among the thorns. Very graphically, he's saying, cut off the foreskin of your heart. It's pretty graphic. All the men said yes. Cut off the things, he's saying, that hinder my word from growing in your life. And here we get really to the point that's probably opening up to this audience of what Jesus is really speaking to in this parable. And what he's speaking to is the heart. He's speaking to the soil of the heart. And what he's declaring is that the condition of the soil determines the yield of the harvest. The condition of the soil determines the yield of the harvest. We could say it like this, the condition of the heart determines the yield of the harvest. Let's keep reading. Verse 10 says, and when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. Jump to 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The first soil he describes, verse 14, he says, the sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. The second soil, these are the ones sown on rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, they immediately receive it with great joy. and they have no root in themselves, but they endure for a while. And then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And then the third soil, verse 18, and others are the ones that are sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But then he gives a fourth soil, verse 20. But those that were sown on the good soil are those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. How many want to be a part of the 100-fold harvest? Jesus is saying here, the soil determines the harvest. The soil determines the harvest. What did all of these four soils have in common? What they had in common is that they all heard. They all heard. What was the difference between the four? The condition of the soil. The condition of the soil. See, farmers, they care most about soil. They give their attention to the soil. They give their attention to the culture of the dirt, because even if it's a less than desired harvest one year, if the soil is good, it's going to be okay. Sometimes I think in our culture that we give way too much focus to just producing when we actually should be giving ourselves to becoming. Sometimes we're trying to get a result when we actually need to focus our heart on what we're becoming. Because when the soil is good, the fruit is good. When the soil is good, the fruit is good. I just want to jump in and talk about these four different kinds of soils. You may have heard sermons on this your whole life, but I actually believe that the Lord's going to open up some things and speak to us today. The first soil was the soil that was along the path, right? I'm not going to spend much time on this, but the seed sits on the surface and it never sinks in, right? It's scattered there, but it never goes down. It gets trampled on the ground. This is what has happened many times when I've tried to plant grass the wrong way. And then I'm frustrated that my grass doesn't get really awesome and green. The seed falls on the hardened soil and it wasn't broken up and it wasn't cultivated. So they hear the word, but they don't do anything with the word. How many know we got to do something with the word? We actually have to respond to the word. No sooner do they hear it that Satan comes and snatches away what's been planted in them. So there's never fruit and there's never a harvest. Okay, the second one, I want to focus in on this one and the next one. The second one is the rocky soil. The rocky soil. So this soil is filled with like rocks and stones, and they hear the word and they immediately respond with joy. They have great enthusiasm, right? There's sometimes when we're like, oh, that's a good word. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they're pumped. Yay, Jesus. Yes, Lord, we will ride with you. That's for the renewal people. Sorry. You know what I'm saying? They're pumped about Jesus at first. Like, I'm pumped about that. My spirit got excited with that thing. But he says they have no roots because the soil is full of rocks. And what happens is that the rocks prevent the roots from going down deep. And as the word of God begins to try and grow and expand in their life, it hits a rock that needed to be removed or needed to be dealt with, but wasn't. Their heart failed to sink a deep root down. They endure for a while, but when the emotions wear off and the difficulty arrives, when the storms and the disappointments of life come, they can't hold on to the word. You know what I'm talking about? Like Jesus says, when tribulations and persecutions arise on account of the word, You know, like when I read that, it hit me. Like I hadn't really thought about this. Like when the tribulations and the persecutions arise because of the word of God over your life, immediately they fall away. When did we think that having a word from God meant that it wasn't going to be tough? That it was going to be tough? Wasn't going to be tough? When did we think that when a word of God was spoken over our life, that man, that meant like glory? It's going to be so awesome all the time. When did the word of the Lord speak over your life that you're supposed to be the lead pastor of Hope Church, and then 9 months into it, COVID hits and it's crazy? You know what I mean? Like, was I supposed to do that right then? Yes, I was. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, that's what happens. Sometimes I think in our culture, we often think when things get really hard, we must somehow have missed God. It is not the truth. We need to shake off that lie. Jesus says when tribulations and persecutions arise, actually on account of that word, they fell away. Following Jesus includes trouble. I'm not like welcoming it. I'd like for it not to be, but it does include trouble, church. Here's the thing, though. Sometimes there's unnecessary trouble in our life. Sometimes there's things that just doesn't need to be in our life, and we have to address the rocks in our soil. And this is something I really want to encourage you with today, church. We cannot ignore rocks that are in our soil. Our role in life is to steward our heart. Our role in life is to steward the soil of our heart. Nobody else gets to do that. We do. Which means that we cannot ignore rocks, and we just don't address a rock once. Sometimes, did you know, you have to address a rock that raises its head and resurfaces itself again and again. Sometimes that happens. You have to get that thing out of there. And sometimes it's work to get it out. Sometimes gardening is work. Do we have any gardeners here? Rocks can be places in our hearts of all kinds of things. The rocks could be regrets. The rocks in our soil could be resentment. The rocks in our soil, they could be disappointment. Do you know what I'm talking about? The rocks that we have to dig up and get out of that soil could actually be disobedience. Those stones that are in there that we find are there as we're tending our soil. But if we're not tending our soil, we'll be like, why isn't this thing growing? But we're not paying attention to what's keeping it from growing. And in the soil, that rock could be bitterness, right? It could be offense. These things actually come in and they mess up the soil and they hinder the harvest. Seriously, church. If that rock is offense, I just want to say this to you. I believe by the Spirit of the Lord. If that rock is offense or unforgiveness, don't wait for somebody else to do what's right. Don't wait for somebody else to come and try and tend your garden. Refuse to let the condition of the soil of your heart be determined by somebody else. That will set you free today. Sometimes we are waiting on somebody else to do what they need to do, and we actually are the ones that need to do what we need to do. When you stand before the Lord, when I stand before the Lord one day and I give an account for my life, it's not going to be about what they did. It's going to be about what I did. I feel like sometimes we live maybe in a way that seems like powerless, and we say, oh, they have so much power, they affected me and impacted me. I know that there are real things that happen to us, but guys, we are the ones that have been given authority over our own heart to cultivate our heart. We have to get it out and invite the Lord to come on in and heal that place so that your heart is clear. Issues of the heart, hear me, I want you to hear this, that don't get dealt with hinder growth. And then before time, sometimes we can't even see how it's hindering the growth, but the word of the Lord that comes and is spoken over your life to step out and do things, all of a sudden you don't realize it, but it's getting snuffed out by those rocks that are in there. Church, we gotta be diligent. Get into that garden and begin to plow out those rocks so that our garden will grow. Turn to somebody and say, get it out. This is an interactive message. Get it out. Get it out. I don't know. I feel this for us as a church. Get it out, guys. Don't hold on to it. Don't hold on to all that stuff. Maybe you need to get some help getting it out. Maybe you need some tools that you don't have. You know, sometimes when I've had to dig in our garden, I didn't have tools that I needed and I had to go get some other tools. Sometimes we got to get, maybe it's a counselor you need to get with to help process some things. Maybe it's a pastor. Maybe it's a godly friend. But do not let that rock stay in your soil and crowd out the word of the Lord that's in your life. I feel that for us, guys. This garden is going to grow. That is the heart of the Lord. Your garden, he dreams for your garden to grow. But we have a part in our garden growing. And we can't wait for somebody else to do what's right. We got to do what's right. Don't hold on to things. Get them out. The third soil is the thorny soil. They hear the word, but three things happen in this soil. Three things: the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things enter in. And what I'm going to focus mostly on this morning is the cares of this world. The other two are significant, but I don't know that I'll have time to get to them. But literally what Jesus is saying that these things do is that the cares of this world literally choke out the word of the Lord. The cares of this world literally strangles the word of the Lord. The word of God, he's saying, that's over your life can get choked out by the cares of this world. Cares here literally means divided mind. It means a divided mind. You see, when our mind is divided, when our mind is consumed with care and worries, it creates a soil that chokes out the word of the Lord. What does the Bible say? A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You think about this season that we have just literally walked through and we're still kind of walking through. How many ready to be out of it? Yes, Lord. You think about this season. You think about the amount of the cares of this life that have been weighing in on people. They're very real. Very real things, very significant issues in life, right? There's been lots of opportunities to be consumed with the cares of this world that have been floating around. You just listen to conversations around you. You know, you can tell a lot by what people talk about. You can tell a lot about what you talk about. Maybe even the words that have been coming out of your mouth, consumed with the cares of this world, out of the heart, right? Out of this heart, the mouth speaks. This season, I believe, has been such a test of the soil of our hearts. This season has revealed, if it's done anything, it has revealed the soil, the condition of our hearts. It has revealed good things. It has revealed hard things, thorny things, all the things. It has revealed it. And what Jesus is saying, hey, I'm giving you a secret. I'm giving you a secret right now. It's the secret of the kingdom. Pay attention to your soil. Pay attention to what's growing in here. Because if your heart grows consumed with the cares of the world, with this problem and with that problem, if the majority of what you are doing is thinking and talking about all that's filled with cares of this life, then that soil, then that culture of heart will actually choke out the word of the Lord. It'll actually choke it out. Did you know that our thoughts... Did you know that our mindsets, did you know that our attitudes can literally choke us to the point where we cannot see and we cannot hear rightly? Where we literally cannot see rightly. I have had many conversations with people that love the Lord that shock me with the things that they are saying. Sometimes I've shocked myself with the things I've said. Can I be that real? Like, what is going on in there? Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I want to give you a tool today that I've been using recently to tend the soil of my heart when it comes to the cares of this life, when it comes to the things that I don't know what to do about and all the things that I can't control. Do y'all have things you can't control and you don't know what to do about? Can I see hands? Do you have some of those things in your life right now? I want to give you the tool. Here it is. Help! It's like so, it's so deep. Help! God bless you, I'm done. Like, this is a really powerful tool. Help! Not the cry of help as like an orphan child, but as a son or a daughter to his father crying out, help, I need you. Do you know what happens when you cry out for help? Jesus says it releases the kingdom. When you cry out for help, it actually releases the kingdom. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who recognize their need, for theirs is the kingdom. Guys, we cannot underestimate the power of just crying out help. I want to tell you that when you call out on the name of the Lord in this way, the kingdom comes. And sometimes it comes in a way where things shift out here, but it always comes in a way where it will shift things in here. This has been my prayer, literally over many situations in recent days. Jesus, you're going to have to handle this. Jesus, you're going to have to handle this. Jesus, you're going to have to handle this. You should write that one down. Jesus, you're going to have to handle this. And what's happening in that prayer is that I'm releasing that care. That rhymed. I'm a poet and I didn't know it. I'm releasing that care. What happens to my heart when I release that care? I'm getting a thorn out. I'm tilling my heart so that that thorn can't get in there and snuff out the word. The word. We must refuse the lie that if we are just worried and full of concern, and we just talk about it more and more, that we're actually doing something. You know, that'll just set us free right there. You know, sometimes it's like, do you ever feel that way? Are you ever tempted in that? Like, if I just talk about this a little bit more, I'm actually going to make an impact. No. Yeah, I'm making an impact. I'm making an impact right here. I love you. I love this place. I love our city. But our city needs a church that's free from being consumed with the cares of this world. Our city actually needs us to be consumed with the priorities of heaven and bringing those priorities here, to bringing him here. Listen, there's a lot of cares in life. There's a lot of cares personally. There's a lot of cares right now nationally, globally. Jesus isn't asking us to live some kind of fantasy life without care. That's not what I'm talking about. I want to be really clear. I'm a dad. I'm a leader. You know, I have lots of responsibilities just like you do. Just like you, I'm deeply concerned about our country. Deeply concerned about our country. I'm deeply concerned about so many of the things that are being pushed in our culture right now that just aren't right. I really am. I know you are too. We are concerned about these things, and we are to be engaging in our culture, and we are to be bringing the kingdom in every way and every place of influence around us. We're the light of the world, for crying out loud, right? But just so you know, I just want you to know, we are actually, as a church leadership, beginning to work on ways that we can actually bring impact and transformation into our city, into our nation, for the long haul, not just a swipe here or there. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, my heart is the long game. How do we change culture in the long game, right? So I want to be really clear. What I'm saying here is that this is not about not embracing problems and dealing with them. As kingdom people, that's actually our role. But if we spend our energy in worry and anxiety and filled with the cares and nonstop conversations about all that's going wrong, church, our mind will become divided. Our mind will become divided, and then we will literally be feeding what is strangling the life out of me and feeding what is choking the word of the Lord out. The enemy operates in fear. The enemy operates in doubt, in unbelief, in distrust. He operates in heaviness. Did you know that? The enemy operates in heaviness. His currency is actually hopelessness and yuck. Turn to your neighbor, say yuck. The devil operates in yuck. That's really deep. And the cares of the world will try and choke out and divide your mind and choke out the word of the Lord. And what I've seen a lot is that I see people getting choked right now instead of being free, full of the breath of God, breathing it out. And I don't want to be a part of that. I want to grow a church that's full of the breath of heaven getting released. Jesus is saying here, he's saying wrong thoughts, wrong attitudes, cares and worries, they actually are warring for the nutrients of your heart. And they are aiming to choke out the word if they are allowed to stay in the soil. Hear this, church. I want to tell you this. Everything that God says and does is rooted in hope. I know, and if how you're seeing and how you're living is not rooted in hope, then there is a better word for you. There is a better word for me, and we need to protect the soil of our heart. Hear me on this. I'm not just interested in growing some big, large church. I want to grow deep people. I want to grow people who deeply care about tending the soil of their heart, who care about becoming. Because as we become like him, then we will produce the fruit that he desires to be produced. People who don't just hear the word and say amen and then move on, but those that actually hear the word, accept it, and do it. And then out of that, transform the world around them. Where the soil is ready to receive the word that he's giving. That as the seed is planted, and as it takes root and it grows, it bears much fruit. Come on, that when the storms come, when COVID comes, when an election comes, there's gonna be more of those. When the turmoil comes and the pressures of life hit us, that our hearts would be so rooted in the reality that nothing is impossible with God because my heart is in good soil for his word. This is a truth. I loved what Heath said last week. He just said something like this. I don't know exactly what he said, but whether it's the word from God that I hear or the word from God that I read, our responsibility, Jesus is saying, is to prepare the soil. It's to prepare the soil so that the word, whether you're reading it or you're hearing the word from heaven, can come in, find a place to grow, a deep root, and sprout out fruit. Your life is a word from God, every single one of you. Don't ever believe the lie that you're somehow less than somebody else. I break that lie off of you right now. They're not less spiritual people than others. That is a lie. Refuse to receive that lie. Refuse to ever engage in that thought. That is a lie straight from you know where. You're a word that is straight from heaven. But here's the thing, my responsibility and your responsibility is to tend the soil of my heart so that I become everything that God dreamed for me to become. Your responsibility is to tend the soil of your heart so that you become all that God dreamed for you to be, because his dream is big. His dream is amazing. We tend the soil. God brings the growth. See, this is not about striving. This is about preparing. This is not about us making things happen. This is about keeping this clear and open and full of a gigantic yes, so he can do whatever in the world he wants to do through us. Whatever he wants to do. If you plant a garden and you don't tend it, it's not going to do well. Now, you might get a little bit of something, but I don't think you'll be very happy with it. And it's certainly not going to be the dream that you had for it. God, give us a vision for a flourishing garden in here. Give us a vision for that. See, God created you with enormous potential. His dreams, his thoughts, his plans for you are so good. But here's what I got to tell you today, and I want you to hear this. I'm actually going to be done. It's going to be the shortest sermon I've ever preached. Maybe. God is not responsible for your potential. You are. God is not responsible for my potential. I am. That all of heaven, I used to quote this, somebody said this a long time ago, and I shared it for years. All of heaven has been assigned to us, to you, to make sure that you have everything that you need to reach your God-breathed destiny. The word of the Lord has been spoken over your life, but here's the thing, we have to act. We have to respond. And we do that, I believe, primarily by tending the soil of my heart, so that all that he has spoken and all that he has given comes forth. Proverbs 4:23, you probably have it memorized. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. That's quite a vision, isn't it? I mean, that's quite a priority that the word of God is saying. Above all else, guard this atmosphere. Protect this atmosphere. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. You actually protect this garden that's growing right here. You can't control all the things that happen to you. You can't control all the things that people are doing to you. Can we turn that piano down just a smidge, just for me? He's playing beautifully though, isn't he? So beautiful, Trevor. We can't control all the things that are going to go around you. You can't control what somebody else is going to do to you. But here's the thing. You have absolute control over what's happening in you. You have absolute authority over what is happening in here. And sometimes I think we've bought the lie that like we're kind of powerless, and we're like our success or who we are, our mood or our attitude is decided by somebody else. No way. That is right. I don't know who said that, but yes, girl. We're not the victim. We've got the authority from the King of Kings to steward this, to protect this. Maybe you're here today and you've been bound up in some kind of bitterness or some kind of an offense from somebody, and maybe they don't even know that they did it. Why would you spend a day trapped in that? Today you can get out of that. And the way out is Jesus saying, hey, tend your heart, protect your heart, guard the atmosphere of your heart. I want to ask you this morning as I close, I want to ask you a real question between you and the Holy Spirit today. What do you need to do to guard and protect the soil of your heart? What do you need to do? Maybe there are some rocks in your heart that Holy Spirit, even as we've been reading this word today, he's illuminating that you need to say, hey, by the power of the Spirit, I need to go get a big old shovel and I need to dig that sucker up and get it out. Maybe it's a rock of some form. Maybe it's time to get real about some things that have been growing in your soil that you're like, I don't know what to do with. But maybe it's a moment for you to say, no more. I'm not going to let that grow there anymore. I'm going to dig that up and deal with that. I'm going to bring that issue before the Lord. I'm going to present it before him, and he's going to show me what to do with it. Breaking up the ground. Maybe it's just breaking up some hardness. You need to get into the Word more, get into the presence of God more. Maybe it's burning up some thorns, some cares of life that have been consuming you, and you just need to start crying out for help to Him more. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's that simple cry for help. Maybe it's casting some of those cares off. Maybe some of those cares that are weighing you down are things that He didn't actually call you to carry. Maybe some of the things that you feel so deeply about that are maybe happening in your life or even in our country or the nation, maybe you're carrying them in a way that He didn't actually want you to carry them. And because they're growing, all of a sudden hopelessness is growing too. And the Lord says, no, that's not the soil I want you to grow there. I want you to grow the soil so that the word of the Lord full of hope can come in and grow up in you. Maybe it's protecting your time. Maybe it's protecting your schedule. I don't know. Maybe it's reordering the way of you're living your life to ensure that the culture of your heart and your soil is healthy and ready to grow as He's planting. Here's what I'll tell you. Holy Spirit wants to get in there and illuminate and help you with this so that when you hear what God speaks to you, whether it's through the written word or the rhema word of God, that message can get planted and rooted and it can multiply to the hundredfold that He desires. Where we don't just hear and get excited in a moment, but where we actually obey and do it because our soil is good. So the good soil, the last one. Y'all with me still? The good soil, those who hear the word, they all heard the word, but they accept it and they bear fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. I think today, I believe the Lord wants to give us an expanded vision for bearing fruit 100 fold. That what if your whole life is really about just being a garden? What if it's not about this and that and the other thing? What if it is just that your whole life, this whole heart of yours was to be wholehearted for Him to bear fruit in every way? That this heart that He's talking about in the good soil here is that in the midst of opposition, in the midst of trial, in the midst of tribulation, that it can stand in the word of the Lord and not shrink back from what God has called us to do, no matter what. Because the soil was good where the seed was planted. This is the heart that when everything looks impossible and right in front of you, but it stands on the word of the Lord that says, if you said it, I'm going to believe it. That be it unto me according to your word, right? This is what good soil does. This is what good soil produces. This is the soil. This is the heart that can stand in the word of God in the moment of intense temptation and say, hey, no temptation has overtaken me because God is faithful. That I got that word so planted in me that God is faithful and He is going to provide a way out for me in this moment of temptation. That wasn't just a little amen in a service for me, but my soil was so tilled that when that temptation came, it hit that word and I didn't have to give into that lust. I didn't have to give into that thing. I didn't have to give into that bitterness because God always provides a way out for me and I am rooted and grounded in that word. Think about this. Why does one person stand and another fall? I'm not trying to oversimplify this, but I just think that Jesus is saying here, it's in the soil. You gotta look at the soil. Gotta pay attention to the soil. Here's the truth. There's a guy that used to come here named Jack Taylor, and he said this. He said, no word of God will come to you that does not in itself contain the ability to perform itself. That is the truth. No word of God that you read, that you hear, there isn't a word that He says that He does not release the ability in that word to perform it. I think the issue lies in the soil of my heart to allow that thing to grow up and to produce that we had become who He made us to be. Would you stand with me this morning? It's almost spring. Can I hear a yes, Lord, on that? I don't know who it was that posted that on social media with the snow for today, but I don't know. We don't want to go back there. Here's the thing. Gardens are going to be growing all over. I've heard about people already getting their seeds ready. We're coming out of a long winter. It started before winter. It started about a year ago this time. Long winter. But I want to speak this over you today. Your garden is going to grow. I want to speak that over you today. Your garden is going to grow. Your garden is going to grow. Your garden is going to grow. Your garden was made to produce 30, 60, 100-fold harvest. Your life was made and dreamt from heaven. You were sent here from heaven, is a word from the Lord, to produce that kind of harvest. And what you desire in your heart, and ultimately, is that. It's what the longing of your heart is. Some of us think the longing is to figure out why I'm here for. I think the reason we're here is to produce the heart of heaven here on earth. And you long for it. And I just believe today that God is speaking on lots of levels. And even could I just ask you just to close your eyes and just lift your hands to heaven right now? I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking on lots of levels all over this room. He gave you a new heart. You don't have that old heart. You have a new heart. So you don't make a heart new. He makes your heart new. What this is about, though, is about stewarding the new heart. This isn't about pastoring the old man. This is about stewarding the new heart. This is about stewarding the new heart. We're not trying to go back and pastor old things, but you're stewarding a new heart by growing the garden. And as your hands are lifted right now, I'm just asking for fresh vision to grow your garden. Whatever needs to be dealt with, that you wouldn't hold back, but you would deal with it. You'd bring it before the Lord. Get it out however you need to get it out. Bring it before Him. He wants to heal you. And then you and Him together tend the garden of your heart and produce fruit like you've never seen before. May the soil of your heart be ready for all that's coming. In Jesus' name, I pray. And everybody said, amen. I want to invite give the Lord a shout of praise this morning.